Welcome to That's Wrestling, a podcast that is going to celebrate wrestling and make you think, wow, that's wrestling. But I am just a humble human being, and I am joined by a man who's been there doing it, still doing it at the top level. I'm going to be joined every week by Trent Seven. Trent, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Yes? You've got a husky voice, you've been busy.
Yes, I've been shouting and been shouted at all weekend. Yes, so I think there's going to be a variety of versions of Trent Seven that you get over the course of the coming weeks. Some with this voice, kind of like...
It's quite sexy, actually, isn't
thank
it?
Thank you very much.
I feel like you could be in the new series of Toast.
Yeah. Oh, I do like him. Yeah. He's a very funny man. What's that one that he says?
Slim
I have no time. For your sex potions. That one is walking through the
And that was delivered really good.
Thanks. Yeah, very funny. So you know, and sometimes, you know, if by some magical reason I've had rest,
yes,
then you'll get a fresh face. Well, maybe not fresh faced, but a fresh face.
Yeah.
I got a couple of scratches, a couple of bruises from this weekend.
Some bastards done that to you.
Some little bastards. But yeah. So I like it. You know, you're going to get a variation of versions of Trent.
Yes.
Some tired, some excited, some happy, some sad. So hopefully this will give you a little bit of an insight into the roller coaster of emotions that the sports entertainment industry and professional wrestling provides for us.
Yeah, and I'm sure we do, and we definitely will. And from my perspective, like, I'm a huge wrestling fan, but I'm really on that sort of WWE top level, but you're going to be educating me in all the indies. Obviously, you're with TNA now. There's so much going on in the beautiful world of professional wrestling. We're going to get a bit of real insight into your career with a bit of a diary, what's been going on. And then if you've got questions as well, get in touch with us, because I've got so many, but get in touch. What do you want to know about wrestling? The dark side of it? Maybe not the dark, maybe a little bit of the dark side of it. The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you're more than welcome to, like, think things about, like, because sometimes, obviously, as a wrestling fan, you arrive at a venue, you've paid for your ticket, and you come in and everything's there.
Yeah.
So if you want to know about, like, how everything gets there.
Exactly.
Then, yeah. But things like that are great, and, like, how, you know, like, there's so many wonderful and funny and hilarious and sometimes harrowing travel stories.
Yes.
To and from wrestling shows or countries and stuff like that, so... All those are the kind of things that I think would be nice and fun to talk about. And
yeah, I love that. Well, I think the biggest headline, we're going to start with those each week, but the biggest headline in the world of wrestling right now is the WWE and TNA partnership for me. Mm. And I mean, you're probably the man well-versed to tell us. I wanted to get your perspective on it from a wrestler's point of view, but how you think it is good for the industry, if you do, and just how it's been working from your perspective.
I think it's absolutely wonderful for the industry. It's what wrestling has been crying out for a long time. I suppose if we go back a little bit, it would be considered the kind of like the forbidden door, right? Mm-hmm. So kudos to AEW for those shows and kind of opening up that kind of forbidden door between New Japan and themselves.
So do you think it almost needed that for this to happen?
I think people would be... It would be wrong to say that it wasn't quite influential. But once again, you know, you've got to just look at, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Right?
That's what I'm trying to say. So... you look at this TNA crossover. There's been a couple of things. I think Mickie James was in a Royal Rumble a few years ago, right, as the champion. So there was like little bits and drabs of maybe working together there.
Which even the presentation with that as well, wasn't it? Because before it'd just be like you wouldn't even reference the TNA element.
But she came out with the title, yes, I think, and she had a pop up. And like now I see that the stuff on NXT, like the TNA logo is in the screen, the TNA font, and the music. It's just really nice to see. But I think the reason why it's just so good to see is because, you know, I feel like wrestling needed that. I feel like wrestling needs a bit of a coming together, and, you know, it's not necessarily about the wars and the conflicts and everything like that. That will always happen and that will always be there. But for the security and the safety and the joy of the wrestlers and the fans, this is just the best.
Yeah. And I mean,
it just opens up everyone's brain to be like, oh my God, what if?
Yeah.
You know, and that is really... I suppose the essence of wrestling for me as a wrestling fan is the what ifs.
Yeah.
Not the, you know, not necessarily the spoon feeding of it, but like, oh my God, fantasy booking. Yeah. What if this guy could wrestle this guy? What if Cena wrestled Tanahashi? Was it, you know, like all that kind of stuff. Like what if Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestled, I don't know,
yeah,
whoever, right? Like the point is like, you know, that's what you want wrestling fans to be talking about. Those are the kind of golden eras of wrestling that they never happened. And now, you know, we can have those kind of crossovers where, you know, AJ Styles versus Speedball Mike Bailey.
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's do this.
Well, AJ's been on the lips of everyone, hasn't he? Obviously, just because of everything he did at TNA. Obviously, yeah, he went out to Japan to do those shows. Do you think we could see him back in... Because obviously, it's NXT TNA at the moment, but it just feels, with the stage he's at as his career, it's almost like ticking off those fantasy things for him.
Yeah, exactly. And like, in no way am I some kind of insider and I have any inside information.
I'd say you're pretty insider.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, like, it's not like I actually do know, like, any of the secrets of, like, some kind of booking ideas or anything. But, you know, as a wrestling fan, come on, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
It's the one that we all want to see, AJ returning to TNA. So, you know, there's some big shows coming up and hopefully they can work it out. And, you know, I think it'll be a wonderful payoff for the fans of both companies. Whether it's Speedball, who knows? Who knows who it's against? Like, it doesn't really matter, to be honest. It'll be amazing. But, you know, I think for the betterment of wrestling, having this kind of crossover is just fantastic. And you know, we can't say that without talking about the incredible rise to super famedom that we have for Joe Hendry at the minute, right? So,
I mean, what's that like for you? Because I assume you've worked with him for over a decade, probably, in and around different promotions. So just to see someone who's so talented to finally get that spotlight and that opportunity that he's earned, it just must be amazing.
Yeah, we were only talking about it when probably the first TNA tour that I did when I signed with them. He's always very, for the last couple of years, he's been incredibly over at TNA.
Yeah.
But obviously TNA's kind of reach over the past few years just hasn't been as big as we or TNA wanted it to be, really. So now it's kind of getting a little bit bigger. And obviously the person at the helm of the kind of like the social media and the online presence for TNA is him. And he is now reaping the rewards of all of the effort and everything that he's been putting in with TNA over the last couple of years with the entrances, like the gimmick songs and everything like that. And, you know, and now you can see it paying off and, you know, kudos to him. It's just fantastic to, you know, to see him kind of like every single time, you know, I open my Instagram, it's him. It's a picture of his face.
If you say his name.
Right. Every single comment is a picture of the gif where he just turns around, and it's just, you know, that's it. And you've got to ride those crests, and some people have managed to ride those for 20, 30 years. Some people don't ride them for as long, but the joy of wrestling is you just got to ride it for as long as you can. And then if you don't, then you have to reinvent yourself. And then you have to, you know, that's the kind of roller coaster that wrestling is, right? But seeing him now at the top is very entertaining.
Because for me, it felt like also a lot of people that sort of were independent wrestlers or sort of come away from WWE and became independent wrestlers, there was sort of like a blueprint where, you know, where you'd work hard, you'd go on this calendar of different events or these dream matches, where he's obviously had it different because he started from the bottom and worked his way up. But the sheer amount of like self-awareness, the energy he puts in, and like the way he uses social media, do you think that's a bit of a, not a blueprint, but has opened the eyes to many of people on the come up?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, for me, for example, I think I'm light years behind as far as like social media presence and all that kind of stuff. And everyone's got these Patreons and all these kind of other kind of things, TikToks and everything. And like, I know that makes me sound incredibly old on myself. I know what TikTok is, obviously. But it's just another platform that I feel like I'll spend another 2.5 hours wasting my time and my life doing it, but I probably should be taking the dogs out for a walk or relaying a new patio in the garden. Yeah. You know, other things that happen in the real world behind the wrestling. So, you know, and having that kind of personality where sometimes I just do end up getting just lost in the algorithms. And,
oh, yeah.
You know. But there is something entertaining about watching a small man build an underground cave with a swimming pool out of his raw hands and clay.
Oh, yeah.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah, yeah. Before you know it, you're 2 hours in.
But I'm 2.5 hours in. It's 4 o'clock garden. In the morning, and now I've got to sleep till 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then I've wasted my day.
Exactly.
And that's just with Instagram and a little bit of YouTube.
Yeah.
So if I start throwing other things like TikTok in, God knows what's going to happen. But that's not to say that I'm not going to...
No, I think we'll get... I think the aim of this podcast...
He's not going to say that I'm going to start a TikTok soon.
Yeah.
I've got some ideas. Yeah. What was the question that you said?
Well, no, actually, I think you answered it in a weird way.
Did I?
Yeah, I think you did. But I wanted to speak about... You spoke about Dream Bookings.
Yeah, about him utilising social media.
Yes.
To its fullest potential, or at least to its fullest potential. We've also maybe seen a wrestler do it.
I think, and as well, I think a lot of people use it, but like not with the level of self-awareness that he's got, you know, like from the promotional banners that he did at Clash at the Castle, just
very
like
good.
It's almost quite just having the British nature apply to it. I don't know, just adds something a bit different to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's definitely like hints of that kind of like English Gervaisy type stuff to it. It's very tongue in cheek, a lot of it, but you know, that I think that's the point of it, isn't it?
Yes, exactly.
You know,
we spoke about things that could happen, dream bookings. I mean, you were in WWE, you're in TNA now, you've got some good friends that are, you know, in
some
NXT,
very, very important stories that have yet to be told.
And you posted on Instagram, you were with your friend. You're friends now, aren't you, after what happened?
Very much friends, yes.
Okay, that's good to know. But, you know, is there a crossover for you, again, back in the future?
Well, young Tyler has just had his pectoral muscle ripped away from its adjoining bit. I don't know where it is. Yeah, he was torn his pec.
Yeah.
So he's out for a considerable amount of time. So I don't know. Like in no way was I, you know, kind of like chomping at the bit to run back and just tag with him. You know, he had a thing. He obviously he's got the Catch Republic. He's got a lot of things going on. And you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of people that I believe that deserve that limelight that are getting it. You know, like the Rascals and Joe Hendry and Jordan Grace. You know, so you know, I don't think it's. I don't feel like I want to rush anything.
No.
If it comes to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything happens for a reason. Maybe Tyler's needed that little bit of time away to become a bigger, stronger boy.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe, you know, it wasn't the right time for me to come back and start doing something there. And we can see the way that Pete Dunne is now getting exactly what he deserves. You know, a bit more of that solo's push of just showing just what an incredible wrestler and incredible talent he is. So now the Butch thing is dropped, the Bruiserweight's back.
Yeah.
And he's going into like a nice program with Sheamus as well. So, you know, I wouldn't want anything else, you know, I wouldn't want to, you know, distract him with anything else at the moment. And I said, as much as it'd be lovely, but, you know, I've got my own plans, I've got my own goals, and I need to, you know, continue dropping a few pounds here and there, getting into a bit better shape and just keep having banger matches and, you know, and TNA's booking me very well at the moment. I feel like I'm getting a lot, some decent screen time. And if I pair that up with OTT and the rest of the independent scene, you know, I think I'm having some of the best matches I've ever had in my life. So it's all there, you know, and it'll all magically happen. So I don't know, maybe when Tyler's fit and ready, we'll have a little conversation and see where I pop up. But
is that how you know he's back from a shoulder injury? If he can do that, well, that's all.
If he's got a
green light, you're straight back in.
He's got a good shoulder dip.
That's the medical test.
So, but I mean, even that in itself is like, you know, look, everything happens for a reason.
Yes,
and time. Exactly. On our side. He's a very young boy, and I feel like I'm in, you know, the richest vein of form I've ever been in my life. Pete's obviously at the top of his game at the moment, venturing into that single match stratosphere. You know, I don't even know how many titles Sheamus has won, but Sheamus is a real don.
Yeah. I really want to speak about everything going on with your career, but you did speak about Pete there, and we were just watching the promo from last night. Like, what did you make of the Butch era, and also tied into now where Triple H is in charge? Like, it always felt to me, and maybe naively so, that like Triple H is a Pete Dunne guy, and now he's got him back to how he wants. We're going to see the real sort of flowers bloom.
Yeah, I think there's he definitely is a Pete Dunne guy. that's for sure. It's hard not to be though.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Ever since the original tournament, I thought he was the standout character.
Yeah.
And then to be skillful enough to back that as one of the best in-ring performers of our generation, you know, you're obviously onto a winner there, aren't you?
Yeah.
And he's incredibly level-headed. He's sometimes a little bit annoyingly level-headed. But yeah, he makes very, very few mistakes. But, you know... he's getting exactly what he deserves, and he's putting, you know, 15, 16, maybe even 18 years into professional wrestling. So as much as he's only 30 years old,
yeah,
he's got a lot. He's still got so much to offer. So I feel like he's very heavily involved. I think he has conversations with the people that, you know, that he needs to have conversations with. And I think the work that he's doing, whether it behind the scenes or in front of the camera, is obviously, he's reaping the rewards that he deserves and that people want from him.
Yeah.
So that's really good. What else were we saying?
I was just, more about the Butch thing, because...
It's just terrible, wasn't it? really awful. But it's really... I mean, it's obviously, it's really... It's kind of painful to watch.
Yeah.
Because you know that he's not Butch. You know that he's Pete Dunne. You know that he's this badass wrestler. He's the finger snapper, the biter, the breaker, the manipulator, the, you know, he's the master technician. He's the, you know, the angry chip on your shoulder kind of character. So it's obviously, to watch the name change and everything, it's pretty rough. I mean, there's another, like, a couple of stories, but I feel like they're his to tell. Right.
Yes.
That are very, very funny, and kind of like, you look back at them now and, you know, it's all good, but they're for him to say. But
well, even from my side, just like this, having the self-awareness now from WWE, you know, like the one that we just watched, the promo, just to be like, yeah, it was really shit. He thinks it's shit. The fans thought it was shit. So
But the point of it is, and this is sometimes the, whether it's a good or a bad thing, without it, we wouldn't be having these really cool emotional promos now.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, it's not really like everything happens for a reason, because obviously it does. I'd have just loved it if it had just been Pete Dunne and the Bruiserweight. But let's look at what we've actually got rather than looking in hindsight.
Yes.
And now we've actually got something more for him to...
Yeah,
he enhances his anger for that period in his career.
Yeah.
That frustration that he had for Sheamus for kind of like being the little runt, not getting thrown around and stuff. So it's just perfect.
Yeah.
But I think that's a testament more to the production team and the writers team and to him.
Yeah.
To be able to go, right, what's the best I can get out of this?
Yeah.
Because no matter what level of professional wrestling you are at, that really is a real key point to try and drill into your kind of mentality, is you just have to absolutely get the best out of whatever opportunity you're given.
Got you.
Whether that's a 2-minute squash,
yeah,
a 30-second promo, a 30-minute main event at WrestleMania, or you have to dress up like Butch and just change your name and have your whole kind of... That, you know, doing that is just incredibly, like, frustrating as a performer.
I suppose the backdrop to it as well.
It's the entertainment industry as well.
It's the most anyone had seen him on mainstream TV, isn't it?
You're on the main roster. You're earning a lot of money. So, you know, sometimes you just have to go, oh, well, maybe I'll carry around a mop. I'll just be called Butch. Right?
Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to bite your lip and just wait, you know,
it's like when people
take your turn.
Oh, carrying around that money in the bank briefcase is so annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, probably thinks it could be worse.
There's a lot of people with very cool stories, like Cardone has got great stories about, like, you know, the frustrations that he had there. So he just made an internet championship.
Yeah.
You know, you just got to make the best of what you've got. And sometimes I look back at my career and I go, you know, maybe I was a little bit... I don't think I never made the best of what I got. I think I always provided the absolute best quality wrestling or best quality promo that I could have at the time.
Yeah.
But I suppose more so the mentality of being able to get into that mode faster.
Yeah, but I suppose...
Rather than be like, oh, why is this happening? Why is that happening? And trying to work that out, the faster you can probably switch yourself across to being like, oh, right, fuck it, right, what's the best I can do for this?
Yeah. But then
I feel like that really, like... I suppose that's quite an honest thing for me to say. I feel like that was the thing that I struggled with the most at NXT UK. But then loaded on with the fact that it was during COVID, loaded on with the fact that we couldn't speak to anyone, loaded on to the fact that, like, we didn't have Shawn Michaels and Triple H and Matt Bloom and Regal coming over every week to kind of, like, comfort us with this information. We're just having to pass information back through third parties.
Yeah.
And producers and stuff like that. So everything was always broken down and, like, not really explained, you know. If I said to you, if I lived with you and I was like, Will, this fucking house is a tip. Yes. You're a disgusting man.
Which has been said before plenty of times.
Well, you know, I was just throwing that out there.
Yeah, yeah. You can just tell by the
clean your fucking room, yeah. Right? You're going to go, okay, thanks for the information.
Yeah.
And you clean the room. But if I go, I tell you what the fucking, this guy, I mean, have you seen the way he leaves a sink? And then eventually he gets back to you. You see what I mean? And sometimes I feel like that was how it's no one's fault. It just happened like that. And then that was the thing that was so frustrating. And then I wish just that easier acceptance of what was going on and be like, right, okay. But eventually it always was that.
It was such unique set of circumstances that were, didn't it? So I think, like, you know, even...
It will never happen again.
Exactly. So I think... Maybe not being some arse on yourself.
Yeah, well, yeah, definitely.
And look, where you are now, like, I wanted to come on to that as well, because, you know, you've walked in here today limping, you're battered, you're bruised, you've got cuts on your face, but you've got a smile on your face.
I have.
So are you really enjoying this spell of, you're like a pick and shit, really. You've got TNA, you can go and work, like, you're old, but go back to Wolverhampton, you've got all this stuff going on. Are you enjoying it?
Yeah, so... Enjoying professional wrestling so much so.
Yeah.
Like, I really am. Like, so I suppose, like, the opposite of the butcher thing, you know, like, I've got all the freedom back now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A lot more freedom to tell the stories that I want to tell or help people tell the stories that they want to tell.
Yeah.
I think that's more so than anything. And help promoters and bookers tell the stories that they want to tell or help elevate or help, you know. So that is the real joy of it. And, you know, that does come at a financial differential to main roster and being called Butch, right? But that's the point of it. You know, I say it to a lot of people, if you get into wrestling for the money, you've definitely selected the incorrect industry.
Yes.
It's almost like if you're a kid just going, you know what, I really want to be a crown green bowler or something like that, or I want to play cricket.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the percentage of people who've ever played cricket that make a six-figure salary.
Yeah.
I don't know how many zeros comes after the decimal point, but it's a lot.
Yeah, but then
I feel like it's the same with wrestling.
Yeah, but then you're going back to your previous point of like, but like you've been to the top.
Yeah, which is sometimes a good thing and sometimes I think
just having that perspective of like that 1% of, you know, like they say with the NFL, isn't it? Of like people are getting it. Like you've been there and done it.
I tell people when I do seminars, I actually have this conversation with them a lot. Yeah. And I say, like, I am so incredibly lucky and so incredibly blessed to have been in the right place at the right time, stood next to the right people, doing the right thing, with the right logo, having the right match, with the right music. There are so many things that have to work together for you to get to the point of being in the WWE. Or being in the NFL, or being a Premier League footballer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, how many kids just don't have that one scout that like them, that sees them?
No, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
But everything that you've just listed out there, that was all down to like you or you
correct.
In the group.
Correct. And that's where you have to then, you
that's
know,
a talent,
that's where you then have to look at the flip side of it and go, oh yeah, but it was me that got to that point.
Yes.
Right. So that's definitely, you know, once again, the kid who trains for 6 hours a day, who runs 2 miles a day, who's the fitter than everyone else at school. It's definitely him that got to that point of being seen.
Yeah.
But like I say, it's still just so many things that have to work out. Yeah. But what were we saying?
No, I was just going to say, like, and in terms of like the one thing we want to do each week as well is like look into your diary, maybe not to the point of like a Steve Bartlett diary of the CEO, but like in terms
his diary is probably a little bit more.
Yeah, well, former boss of mine as well.
It's definitely not.
We might be able to get him on the podcast.
I don't think
he doesn't like wrestling.
Yeah. I don't think he slept on a sofa. Oh my God, I've got so many stories.
Exactly. So we want to be looking into that. Maybe like old diary entries of stuff that's happened in the past.
Oh, wow.
But in terms of...
I've got a belter from this week.
Oh, yeah, go on.
We should tell it. Oh, should I tell it? Okay, well, let's just name no names, right? We'll just keep things...
Well, it's good names.
No, I mean like the company names. I don't want to bury any companies online. So we stayed in a hotel.
Nice.
This week, and it's a really, really nice hotel.
Oh.
Well, it's a nice hotel, but the room specifically...
Where are we in the world?
A country.
Okay.
Because people will work it out. No, we're in Dublin. Right. So anyway, me and Dereese and the big Damo, we go into this hotel room and it's like a suite. It's like a, it's an apartment. And we're like, oh, brilliant. It's two-seater. I've got another room in the hotel, but I'm like, oh, we'll just crash here. So we just have
two-seater.
Some drinks. Two-seater.
What are you going
to say? Two-sleeper.
Fucking
rooms.
Hell, they've took the bags out. Ah! Put two chairs in.
And they've put an Mazda MX-5 in. No, serious.
Yeah.
So what are the words that I need?
Two beds.
This is when it's a long weekend run. It had two bedrooms. So obviously one was Damo's and one was Dereese's. I was like, oh, well, whatever. If we finish early enough, I'll get to my room, but if not, I'll just crash on the sofa. So we had a great night, just shooting this shit and just chatting about everything and wrestling and all that kind of stuff. It was just great. Anyway, so we go out, we go to the next show. We leave a couple of bits and stuff in the room, but we leave.
Are you doing multiple shows in Dublin, sorry?
No, we're going to Belfast now.
Got you, sorry.
So we go to Belfast, we do that show. We come back and I get the key out. Dereese passes me the key and it doesn't work for the lift. So I'm like, oh God, I'll go and sort it. So I go to the guy at the car, I go, oh, so excuse me, mate, 1103, the key's not working. He goes, no worries. Bip, there you go, cheers, mate, all the best. He asked me for the name on the room. But boom, I go up there now. Boom, up to 1103. Oh, 1103, I've given it away. Blank that out. And then we go in, and I press the thing, and I open the door, and walk in, and everyone's like, wow, this is a sick room. I was like, yeah, it's really cool. I open the living room door, and there's just a child asleep on the sofa. I was like... There's a child. Dereese, there's a child asleep on the sofa. He's like, what are you... Oh, no. What's happening? So now I shut the... This kid's like... I shut the door. I walk back out. And now here's his dad. Stood out. He walks outside. I'm like, hi, mate. I just think we've got the wrong room. See you later. And we just left. And he was like, oh, okay. Yeah, no worries. Like, he just understood it.
Yeah.
It's not like we ran in there like all guns blazing. I was like, I'm ever so sorry, man. I think we just got the wrong room key. He goes, oh, okay, no worries. I was like, do apologise. We'll leave. See you later. I'll go and change it. I'll go and sort it out. No worries. Oh, my God. So then we go downstairs and I'm like, where's all of the things that we left in the room? And the guy's like, oh, it's in the storehouse room. I'm like, what? Where's that? It's in the hotel. Yeah, but where in the hotel? Like, I'll go and get the stuff. It's not open. Till when? 8:30. And like, it's the worst conversation I've ever had. Because obviously now this kid's like, man, I'm going to get fired.
So what, they've given your room?
So, no, but like, what had happened was that room wasn't the one that we had for 2 days, but we thought it was.
But then you'd ask for a key and he'd just not double checked.
Oh, he double checked the name because the name was the name that was on the room then.
If I'm the dad,
so
I'm
whether he did
swinging.
Check. Oh, well, he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
With that guy.
I think he's obviously gone into the sun and gone, that was crazy. I think the sun was having a slightly worse time.
Got you.
Coming to terms with it.
Well, I mean, if you're a kid and you see three professional wrestlers walking.
Yeah, right. So.
Because, I mean, you're a big guy.
And a nice variation of human wrestler as well. Like.
Yeah.
Well, it's not like Damo walked. If Damo walked in first, oh my God, that's. Do you know what I mean? Sleeveless cut off vest.
And he's called Big Damo.
For a reason.
Yeah.
Big hairy beast man. Yeah.
It'd be good wild. If he just knew the situation and was just like. Absolutely went for it.
Who else was this? We were trying to think who would be the worst. Dan Housen was with us, but he didn't come in. So imagine if he came in with the face paint on at 1 o'clock in the morning. No, it's about 11 o'clock. It just scared the living shit out of this kid. But anyway.
But that's the life of a professional wrestler.
Yeah, so, you know, and that was just a little fun story. That is one segment of that story as well. It goes on and on and on. That was just one night in the weekend.
Well, if it's all right with you, I mean, that story.
We got our stuff back, by the way.
Oh, you did? You know, yeah. The guy gets sacked?
Actually, we didn't get our stuff back because there was some.
Also, isn't
there some drinks in the fridge that never came back?
But... Isn't the Guinness factory called the Storehouse?
Is that what it's called?
Is it called that? Yeah. I think it is.
Is
so,
it?
So did they take your stuff to the Guinness?
Maybe he just got a bit excited and he just said the first thing that came to
That'd be classy. Yeah, if you can just go to the Guinness factory, please.
Yeah.
At the top level.
Yeah, you can go to the 46th
floor. You know the museum? Your stuff's in there.
Oh, bless him, man. He definitely got fired.
Well, I'm sure you'll keep stories like that top of your mind. No, he didn't.
Hopefully he didn't get fired.
No, no. Yeah. But obviously, but I think it'd be good for you to keep a diary going forward.
Do you know what? The amount of people that have said that you should keep like a little bit of a note, like
yeah.
jot these stories down. Because there are so many,
yeah.
just so many but funny, think, stupid things that
so
have happened.
Once we're 2 years in, you know, that's the book. Diary of a Restless Old.
My chiropractor is the big shout out to Dom from Technical Road Chiropractic Clinic.
Big, yeah.
Discounts.
Is he looking to sponsor?
Oh, yeah,
that
please.
Could be great. It'd be great if we just had a real good, weird selection of sponsors. Like.
Yeah, but sponsors that realistically do help the podcast go.
Yeah.
Because without him,
I'd be
nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'd be an absolute shell
That'd
of myself.
That'd be a good episode of you just on the bed, just being cracked into
there
place.
There you go. But every time I go and see him, that's exactly what he says. Like, he goes, oh, what have you been up to this week? And obviously, he knows what I do, but, you know, over time, we've just become more open with the stories and everything. And he's just like, man, your life is a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you need to write it down.
Sometimes it's saying it that, and then...
Yeah, sometimes I say it out loud and I go, oh, God almighty, imagine if I just told people this. And then I tell my chiropractor and I try and tell my hairdresser. And then I've had it where I've been talking to my hairdresser about it or whatever, and the person next to me is just like, this is a lie. There's no way that is what you did this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what happened this weekend? Oh, yeah, so I flew to Toronto and I slept on the sofa for 4 days and I couldn't really move. But it was really good. And then I go in and wrestled this person. Then I got knocked clean out. And then I woke up and then I got about 3 hours sleep after a fake tanning and lying on the sofa with a tiny little dog. And then I went to Winnipeg and then I wrestled there in Winnipeg. And then I never really got any sleep because it was just a really good night. And then I flew to Minnesota where we didn't have a hotel. And I walked into a hotel room in Minnesota and there was two Mexican wrestlers in my bed. And I was like, oh, that's great. So then I go,
I mean, that's great. I mean, and that's every week.
And that was last weekend.
And that, so I think we're going to hear those stories every week because, yeah. I mean, if that's your starting point, we're in for an absolute rollercoaster of a ride.
Yeah, like, you know, the week in review, I think, is a good thing
it
to do.
It might be quite
as well.
Cathartic for you as well.
Yeah. And it obviously keeps a lot.
I did scare a kid.
Yeah. And there are some scared little American child running around thinking, who are these bearded men that walked into my room?
I love that.
At 11 o'clock at night.
Obviously, this is a bit of a pilot episode. So
hopefully, he's a wrestling fan.
He is now. Actually, we could go two ways.
He has free tickets for the
and
rest
that's when he knew.
He has free tickets for the rest of his life.
Yeah, exactly.
If he ever sees this podcast.
Obviously, we want to forge a bit of a community here, create a bit of a club as well, and, you know, hear your stories about getting people involved. But what I want people to do is ask questions that, you know, you want to ask a wrestler.
Yeah, so, about wrestling or, like, it's more so things about, like, what are the things,
But do you know what's really on my mind at the moment?
Go on.
Is I don't understand, and this is from a WWE perspective, especially with the huge nature of how big they are. Well, maybe it ties into this, but like how many leaks get out? So like...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just the industry, isn't it?
But what?
I think it's the same as anything, though. So, okay. Let's kind of like put a little caveat on it, right? Because we're talking about wrestling and it feels so... insular, like wrestling feels insular to us because we're doing a wrestling podcast. I'm a wrestler. Yeah. You're a wrestling fan. We're talking about wrestling.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's the same as everywhere.
But I don't think it is,
man. Insider trading happens every day in every level of business.
Yeah, I suppose
it's just people but who
it's
can't
like the
keep
nature
their mouths
of,
shut.
It's the nature of like some of the things and like when they come out, like
but
they,
like GTA 6 trailers.
Yeah.
It's the same thing, man. Anyone who works anywhere who knows any information.
Yeah.
There are so many platforms and ways to get it out there that you just sat on the.
But like,
but that's been like forever, isn't it? Like,
but in terms of like the wrestling, do you think some is it like jaded wrestler? Is it a lot of from jaded wrestlers that like we have relationships with certain journalists?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I think it's just par for that. You know, that entertainment industry is like who. Everyone wants to know what everyone's doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and there's such competition for obviously like the coolest story, but I mean, when you think about it, it's probably only about 6 stories in wrestling anyway. Well, it's just how cool you redo them.
Yeah. No, that is very true as well. But like even things like, I mean, you look at the AEW, like how the hell there's a picture of Shane McMahon and Tony Khan get out from a private, like,
it's just
I don't understand
bizarre.
Who the guy
yeah,
is.
Yeah, who takes it? Yeah. But yeah, You're right. I have no idea. And I don't really have an idea of why you would want to.
Yes, well, that's my big thing.
That's the real
thing. Spoilers, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the real confusing thing is like, oh, I heard Becky Lynch was going to return at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Well, probably. Do you know what I mean? Or like,
just wait and see.
But like, now, actually, that one's a little bit more like topical kind of conversation. But like, you know, when people are like, Brock Lesnar's going to win the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I've heard it. Or they've got like a picture of like some running order or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's like, the ones I can't believe. Of like, yeah, this I'm is like, the match order for Bash at Berlin. It was 3 weeks away. Like,
yeah, and you're like, well, obviously now it's not.
Yeah.
And then you go into that kind of realm of, oh, to battle the people, to battle the misinformation.
Yeah.
Does WWE just release misinformation itself?
Well, I feel like that's where we're in a golden
era.
That's
probably where it's at now, isn't it?
Yeah, because I feel like everything's at play at the moment. Yeah. From like to a point where I don't know if I'm becoming a conspiracy theorist, but like the Behind the Curtain documentary.
I'm very deeply a conspiracy theorist. So
oh, God.
This podcast could go one of two ways now.
but I really believe that was like, that's still a work.
What, the fact that people, that like the companies put their own...
But that documentary was like, oh, that's still tying into it.
I had this conversation the other week, because obviously with TNA doing the Montreal show, so yeah. Slammiversary is in Montreal, 4,000 people.
Amazing.
Unbelievable, right? Just an incredible moment. We did a really cool, like, the match itself was obviously going to be good no matter what happened, because it's Mustafa Ali versus Speedball. But he had the crew with him and he had his like bodyguards and everything. And then I'd been taken out the week before. And then Speedball was coming back from this and his missus is in the ring and all of his mates that he's grown up with because it's his hometown. And it was just perfect. And then there was this big unveil where it was just so good. But then another layer to it was Mustafa Ali puts him in the sharpshooter in Montreal, right?
Yeah,
so
yes,
we get into that. Like,
and Earl Hebner's reffing.
And then Earl Hebner came out. As the second referee, was the referees down.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what? And then Earl writes the wrong.
Yeah.
And doesn't call for the thing. Oh, my God, the liars. It was...
Did you go...
I strongly recommend people watch that match, especially if you're an old wrestling fan and you understood the story of the Montreal thing.
That makes
and even
you
if
go,
you're a new wrestling fan,
that's wrestling.
It will reignite you to then go and watch that back as well, because that was, whether it was real or not, is art. But that was what we were talking about. We're talking about, was the screw job real or not, right? And it's a big conversation in wrestling. Now I'm at the point where I just don't... And I feel like this is like the most conspiracy. I don't even care if it's real or wrong. Excitement that it's generated for professional wrestling is worth every penny of it, right?
Yeah, it just feels
it's like space. No, I'm joking.
It's like the moon landing.
It's like, exactly.
I just feel like I think the big one for me was the Drew McIntyre stuff. Of like everyone being like, CM Punk he's still not re-signed. And then they did a big stuff around it. And I was like, I just felt like there was no way on God's green earth that they're doing a pay-per-view in Glasgow. And I might be wrong, but like, and they're feeding bits of information out that like, he's definitely re-signed. But I was like, there's no way he's re-signed. I was just like, I'm the law of averages. I probably think he has. Do you know what I mean? But just to create just that, wild. And then that becomes a storyline in itself, isn't it?
Well, I heard a thing saying that one of the people that was in charge of contracts, did you see that there was a thing that got leaked that said the person who was in charge of the contract renewals was under scrutiny for not being on the ball? And I'm like, yeah, but that's a really, really good cover story. So you know what? At the end of the day, it's the entertainment industry.
Like that person's got one job and they're like, surely they're...
But you see what I mean? So when that gets lit, you're like, oh my God, it's real. And I'm like, oh, but what if that's not real?
Yeah, yeah. And that's great. I think that's good, isn't it?
I think that is the real true art of wrestling.
I wonder if we're hopefully...
Or it's the true art of entertainment. Yeah. Is you know, like, have you ever watched those ones where it's like, this is how the magic happens?
Yes.
With Penn and Teller.
Yeah. Well, who was that
and
guy?
Everyone goes, that's how you did it. What but you can't explain how that was done.
Yeah.
Do you know, like the way they're explaining how to do
just
it.
Asking more questions.
It just makes you go, but that wasn't there in the foot. So, and for me, that's entertainment. And that is the magic of the art of wrestling.
That's wrestling.
And that's wrestling.
And I think that's a great way to end on a put together pilot show. We're going to be doing a lot more. Trent, we're going to be hearing a lot more from you, hopefully.
Yeah, man.
From you know, hopefully scaring more children.
No more.
Maybe if you're a heel.
Well, yeah, obviously, yeah.
You can have that move in
Dublin and Belfast this week.
I'm excited. And what I was going to say is maybe we'll get to a point where hopefully this podcast is successful and what we're doing is that people will go, they're in on it.
Yeah. And then, hopefully. Yeah. That's what you want people to think?
They've been fed information.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I've not.
But, you know, the car I drive will be the thing that will be the telling of whether we're being paid off by the dirt sheets.
Exactly.
Or by the big companies to source feed you information. So
if you need us to spout some shit, please get in touch.
If I go back to driving a big fat Range Rover again, you'll know.
Exactly. I love that. And on that bombshell, I think we're in. Trent, where can people find you?
Not just happening
on a daily basis.
Here's my home address. Please come say, no. Unfortunately, yes.
We need to get you on TikTok.
Yeah, we need to get me on TikTok.
We've got your Instagram.
On a golf course.
Niall plays as well.
Crossovers all over the place.
Instagram, we need to get you on Twitter.
Instagram. Let's just go with Instagram for now.
We'll do Instagram.
And then we'll use This Is Wrestling. Wrestling. Brilliant.
This Is Wrestling. That's Wrestling.
That's Wrestling.
No, that's.
Here's Wrestling.
Exactly. That's the T-shirt printed.
What have I got? This weekend, I'm in Toronto.
Nice.
I've got a cage match. Destiny World Championship against Steve Macklin.
Yeah, that little shit.
Yeah.
Little big shit.
Shithead. But that's a big one. If for some reason you're listening in Canada or the Toronto area, get out there. And if not, we might be having a live stream, I think, of it or something like that. There's definitely a stream of it. And obviously Destiny's going into like having like a weekly TV program with Triller and Fight Network, I think it is.
Yeah.
So that's a really cool one. So jump on there and have a look at that. That's really
Macklin,
cool. Yeah, he's a badass.
Yeah, but
he's a knobhead.
He's been a shit to you.
So it's time
personal.
To lock that cage door.
Yeah.
And climb 15 foot high.
Exactly.
Probably do some kind of
moonsault,
career defining maneuver off the top of it. Who knows?
My God.
But
I actually can't imagine being stood on.
I can't imagine doing it. Okay. It's frightening. So
let's not think about it.
We'll see how much.
We'll see how many
people turn up.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, it should be great. So I'll be doing that, and then obviously next week is All In, a big weekend for wrestling fans in the United Kingdom and London specifically.
Yeah.
We've got the All Caps show the day before that. At the Garage in Islington.
Oh, you're joking.
I
live in Islington.
Well, that's where you'll be there.
Well, I'm not. I'm doing some work for Football Manager.
Oh, the computer game.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
I'll tell you more offline.
See, that's another thing I can't do. I can't have Football Manager, can I? TikTok, Instagram, YouTube and Football Manager.
You don't have to have Football Manager. That's just amazing.
But I will though now because you're involved in it.
No, so I'm not in the game. I'm just...
Mates who used to put shirts and ties on for FA Cup finals and everything.
Yeah, okay.
Championship Manager was the only way forward. I can't play it ever again.
This is a professional tournament for it. I'm not playing in it.
Forget it.
I should be. Anyway.
Focus.
Wrestling, cage, that's wrestling. Cheers.
Thank you.
See you later.